welcome to the Revenue Hub podcast. I'm Trevor Grant. Through these podcasts, we aim to discuss topics relevant to professionals within the hotel, travel and leisure sectors, whether you're in a revenue management function, reservations, front office operations, digital marketing or sales. We hope the topics discussed will be of interest and either answer some questions or maybe prompt some more. Hi, welcome to another Revenue Hub podcast. Delighted to have you listening to us. And today we are very fortunate to be joined by guests from Star and Oki. I'll let the guys introduce themselves individually at the moment, but we're joined by Russell Logan, Head of Sales Europe from Star, Katie Calvi, who's the Online Strategy Manager for Europe, also from Star, and Clément Denary, probably got that totally wrong, who is Head of Sales from Oki. Today we're going to be touching on personalization, a little bit on segmentation, because some people think that's personalization, but then also leveraging a little bit into hyper-personalization. But before we get into the meat of the topic, let me at least welcome our guests and give them a chance to briefly introduce themselves to us. So if I can hand over to Russell and Katie, if you could just give us a brief intro first of all, welcome.
Hi Trevor, thank you. So I'm Russell, I'm Logan, I've been at Star for about 3 years now. I'm formerly from booking.com, where I spent a big chunk of my career. And really Star, it's all about being an innovator in hospitality technology solutions. We've been actually founded in 2008, so we're quite an old company for an internet tech firm. And basically our products have been putting property owners in control by empowering them with technology that helps them attract, convert, analyze and maximize their online reach and revenue. We started off in New Zealand. It was just Gavin Jeddo in his bedroom. And now we're a global company, which we've got operations in New Zealand, India, Malaysia, Philippines, Thailand, UAE, and here in the United Kingdom. So we're growing to kind of service our expanding network, and it's a great company to work for.
Excellent. They all start in bedrooms or garages, don't they?
I know. It's amazing, really. Starting from one person to, I think we've got nearly 200 members of staff now. So it's incredible.
Oh, very good. And Katie, welcome to you.
Hello. Yeah, so I've been with Star just over a year now. And like Russ, I also came from booking.com and worked there for a number of years. So all in all, worked with Russ for a long time now. Just keep following him wherever he goes.
That's probably a conversation for another time. welcome on board. Clément, nice to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Yeah, very excited to be here. So my name is Clément indeed, and your pronunciation was not bad at all. Hey, good. So I work for Oki. Oki is the best converting upselling platform for the hotel space. So hotels, hostels, and service apartments. Very happy to be based here in Amsterdam. Beautiful and sunny today. So I have to mention it because it doesn't happen that often. And yeah, expanding as well in the rest of the world. Just opened an office in Singapore not that long ago, and really ready to take on the world of innovative hoteliers that are looking to drive revenue by enhancing their guest experience.
Very good. And I know I'll tee this up, but we'll touch on it a little bit later. But you guys have recently got involved in a partnership. And it was really recognizing that there's value to both sides of you of coming together as companies and technology that kind of spurred this idea around the podcast. And as I say, we'll talk about the that collaboration a little bit towards the end and what value you believe that will bring to both of your clients. But I think where we almost start the journey when we're thinking about personalization, hyper-personalization, the key word that everyone and exists for everybody nowadays is data, because without data we can't do anything. And so on that journey, and I guess this is for you guys Russell and Katie at Star predominantly, is that everything starts with data. So in terms of from a booking engine, I mean, I know you guys are a booking engine, channel manager. How can we be utilizing that piece of technology and the data that it's producing to then move us down the funnel to when we're getting to Oki and what Oki can do? What are you guys delivering to us as hoteliers?
I think really the foundation of everything comes back to what kind of rates your offering, dependent on what type of guest you're trying to attract. So if you're trying to attract the corporate guest, then you would maybe have a length of stay offer. Non-refundable rates potentially could attract the leisure guests because they tend to book in advance, know when they're traveling. If we're sort of then looking at the booking engine, we always say make sure your content is clear, up to date, that you've got a selection of packages, mm-hmm. as basically it's your online catalogue.
Yeah.
With our booking engine, it's available in over 20 languages as well. So that's the kind of data that we can always share with Oki. It's the type of rate they're booking, the length of stay, what language they're booking in, to try and drill down with the personalization of that guest.
That makes sense. And the language is becoming a key piece as well, as you say, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think what we're seeing is an incredible increase of conversion as soon as the language is there. And actually, it's quite the opposite, a decrease of conversion if we are emailing the guest in the wrong language. Mm-hmm. Which can become sometimes a bit of a challenge if we take kind of the traditional nationality, thinking of Belgium, thinking of Switzerland, where there is more than one language in one country, nationality is not enough. So having the language in which the guest has booked is extremely crucial to make sure that we provide a smooth and pleasurable experience for the guests.
That makes sense. And Russell, from your perspective, when we were talking about kind of the format for this podcast, we were talking about sort of booking engines, and typically now the vast majority of hotels are going to have a booking engine. I think you were saying you probably estimated 80 to 90% of hotels, if not more, will have booking engines. Was that right?
So statistics found, like especially with us, we've seen about 80-90% have their booking engine now, because traditionally people will always first go on booking.com because they're top of Google. You find them everywhere. They do retargeting ads, but people do like to actually see the hotel's website, so they'll then go onto that. And if they've got a nice clear operational booking engine, they're actually more likely to book with that, especially with the value add-ons like from Oki and things like that, that can actually upsell and give guests a better deal, even if it's just a free breakfast on their own website. People are more likely to book direct. That's what we've found, and we're really focusing on making our booking engine better. We're even looking at AI technology, chatbots, things like that, to really kind of help personalize the journey and get them to book direct. So we are seeing a bit of a sway. Traditionally, booking.com were always at the top with bookings, but we're seeing the actual booking engine climbing up the ladder now, which is good to see, because obviously they don't have to pay the commissions.
Absolutely. And in terms of thinking again back to the point about the data that's available to us, if you're taking bookings through an OTA, booking.com, Expedia, whoever it may be, or if it's coming direct through the website, through the booking engine, Is the data different that we're capturing?
Yeah, I think that the data actually on itself looks quite similar. We have same kinds of fields. What is different though is the guest. So it is extremely interesting to actually use the fact that this guest has booked on this or that platform, has mm-hmm. made the effort to indeed book direct, or has decided to go with an OTA, because probably that already means a lot, and that says a lot about this guest. So that also means that as a hotel, especially as a hotelier, if you know your guests, and this is definitely data that you want to use, you can start targeting, segmenting, and personalizing the offerings depending on that piece of data. And it could be, for example, as both Russell and Cathy mentioned, using a rate plan, for example. Knowing that this guest hasn't booked breakfast on an OTA might mean that, hey, I got an amazing opportunity to actually upsell that breakfast later on for a very special price.
Sure. No, that makes sense. And from a booking engine point of view, and it's not just focusing on booking engine, but as we've got you guys there, I mean, I guess the question, are all booking engines made equal?
I mean, certainly not. There's several hundred channel managers available globally. All are completely different. A lot offer a hybrid solution, so everything all in one stop, PMS, website channel manager. Star, obviously, are a connectivity partner. So where we differ is that we allow them to pick what PMS they want to add to us, and we partner with companies such as Oki. So we have a lot of integrations that we can offer that maybe an all-in-one solution don't. We spend more time sort of developing our booking engine and our channel manager. And that's why with booking.com, we're a preferred partner, because we are actually the fastest channel manager to update their system when they tested them all recently. So,
okay, interesting.
So it's just really tailor-making whatever package the customer needs, really.
And I think that piece about the integration, you know, we're seeing a lot more of that. And through a number of our expert partners, you know, the conversations that we have, and I mean, not just to name check anybody, but Apaleo is one that have taken a very different approach, where it's almost like an app store, basically. And so this drive, the approach that you've taken, where this ability to connect and build and pick and choose and not be constrained by maybe some legacy technology that you have, is a much more flexible, dynamic way of approaching it, where you can decide piecemeal little bits and pieces that you want to add on to it. Is that right?
I would say yes. I think that we're living in an extremely exciting period. The hotel industry in general can finally innovate because, as you said, they're not hindered by legacy systems that actually prevent from innovation from happening, because there's only three or four main systems that they connect to. So I think Apaleo definitely is one to mention. I think systems like SA that really open up and make this obvious decision to really make it extremely easy for the users, for the hoteliers to adopt innovative systems that are finally able to, as you mentioned, app store, plug and play. This is something we've never heard in the hotel industry before, but we're finally able to do it because of technology and because we have companies behind that support it.
Absolutely. Russell, were you... You were going to say something, sorry.
No, I totally agree. I mean, Star is the channel manager. We're just the enabler. So we're the person that can pass over data. We can pass the processes over. We can give companies like Oki all they need. So obviously, if we weren't here, then they wouldn't do their job as well as they can. And if they weren't there, we couldn't do our job as well. So
absolutely,
it works both ways.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of this, isn't it?
Yeah.
So looking at it then, so when we've established some of the information, the information that is being brought through is critical. And as you've already highlighted, some of the key parts dependent on whether you're a leisure, whether you're business, you would determine the different KPIs or the different metrics that you're looking at. I think picking up on the language piece as well, you are looking at how you can start to be utilizing that from a segmentation and a communication perspective. I mean, we're not going to be able to cover everything on a short podcast because it is so intricate. But I think what we realize is that having that right connectivity that is bringing the right data through in a way that then can be utilized by additional technology elements like Oki is the key to being able to generate greater revenue, build greater loyalty, interaction, engagement with the guest, which then helps to develop those upselling opportunities. Mm. And it's also that loyalty piece, isn't it? Because you may not always necessarily get the first booking direct, although that's ideal, but being able to know about that guest, being able to engage with that guest once they're with you, enables you then to start to leverage that to hopefully transform them into a direct booker or a loyal guest next time round. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that makes so much sense. What is amazing is that we can, thanks to the data and that is then provided by a connector like SA, we can really take kind of the creativity and the communication, the relationship that there is normally between a hotelier and their guests, really this hosting feeling. We can finally take that into the digital era and further than just a website, because indeed a website is visited by a certain amount of guests, but let's not fool ourselves either. Majority of guests might visit a website, but they won't book through the website. So what matters is that any guest that has booked, whatever the channel they have booked, still receives that amazing pre-welcome experience, really to have that warm feeling of understanding what the concept of the hotel is that they have booked, even before they push the doors of the hotel. And that is kind of setting ground to a proper relationship of actually creating loyalty, of actually creating not just going in there for points, but actually having that kind of direct relationship with the guests as well.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So moving on from the data piece, now that we know that you know, with a connectivity like Star, that can provide us what we need to actually do what we want to do next with them. Again, when we were talking about putting this together, we start, I mean, hyper-personalization is a phrase that I've seen Oki use, and we'll talk about how that is different to how that takes personalization to another level. We'll touch on that a little later. But what was interesting is I think you made the point, Clement, which is that often when people sometimes talk about personalization or they think about personalization, when they talk in terms of segmentation. And those two things, there are similarities, but there's quite some significant differences.
Yes,
So maybe we could just, without patronizing our listeners, because I'm sure they understand, but I think it's useful to revisit sometimes. How do we see the difference between segmentation and personalization?
I think it's really a journey. I think it all starts with first proper data. We've talked about it. That's clear. When you have proper data, you can actually create rules-based segments, right? So the segmentation is really leisure, business, transient, or group, really kind of the semantics of hospitality, going as basic as possible, putting people into boxes and hoping that these boxes always react the same way. The world doesn't work like this. Humans don't work like this. We don't like to be put into boxes. So let's take it another level. That is personalization. That is really individualizing these journeys, individualizing, recognizing that every guest is a different person, making sure that there is this unicity of the experience. So actually taking it further and recognizing that this guest actually might belong to many different segments. Then and only then can you take it to yet another level, which is hyper-personalization. And that is bringing different contexts, different dimensions into really having this one-on-one conversation almost. That is also leveraging AI, that is leveraging machine learning to really understand possibly the past behavior, but as well predict the future behavior of specific guests.
Okay. That hyper-personality sounds like a whole area, and we'll get into that. Let's just roll back to that person, because that personality piece is still that interesting piece. So as you say, you might take one segment, could be the leisure segment or the business. They could be a business traveler. But as you say, each business traveler may have a slight deal of uniqueness about them, or the leisure traveler may be coming as a couple or as a family. So there are differences. So that's where you're talking about taking that segment down to a greater granular level. And again, this is probably an obvious statement to make, probably an obvious area to go. But just for a moment, the value of moving from segmentation to personalization. Why, if we've already got our segments and they're coming in, okay, fine. We've got the booking. We know we've got 10 leisure bookings coming in. We've got a few couples. We've got a few families. What is the value to the hotel of taking that more granular down to a personalization level?
Well, I'd say the value is actually coming down to the guest. Your guests are consumers of 2020 companies. So they are used to Netflix, they're used to Spotify. They're not happy with segments anymore. They're not a segment themselves, and they are expecting certain level of personalization. What we say at Oki is that personalization is actually the new normal. These are the expectations of today's traveler. So that does mean that if we convert that, or if we translate that into what it means for a hotelier, that means conversion, that means engagement. We've seen that by adding personalization to a standard communication pre-stay, you can increase your conversion by 28%.
28% just by getting it slightly more personal. And you're talking about pre-stay communication. So again, just for the purpose of clarification, pre-stay personalization being examples.
So that would be basically between the booking and the arrival, and that would be your typical pre-stay emails that include upselling, and that would be a room upgrade. It could be offering a lovely dinner on top of the half board that you've already booked. It could be basically making sure that you only offer very relevant items, a transfer from the airport, lovely romantic package, which is past Valentine's. These are really at least a little bit more personalized items to offer.
Yeah, so whilst you can't also assume, but if you had a couple arriving maybe, or a family arriving, and they were due to arrive 12th, 13th of February, then you would probably be more likely to push out maybe a Valentine's message to the couple than the family, for instance. You might tweak it. There may be a Valentine element to it,
yes,
but your message to the couple may be slightly more different to the message to the family.
Yes, exactly. And this is where we speak about personalization. This is about tweaking your message, really simply flexing what you want to say and adapting to the person that is in front of you, that will be in front of you. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, Christmas happens every year on the 25th of December. And Valentine's is usually on the 14th of February also. So why not actually anticipate it and really kind of strategize? And I will actually jump back on what Russ and Katie said at the beginning, understanding which kind of guests you want to attract and what is it that you actually want to engage in, to sell them. Really trying to understand what is it that you want to get out of that relationship.
And I guess that comes back to you as a hotel, what your hotel has to offer, which then, I mean, these are a continual loop, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, we look at it sometimes as if these are different sections of a jigsaw puzzle that we bolt together. And in a sense, they are. But it's also this virtuous circle that we're continually going around. You know, as a hotel, you should very clearly know your USPs. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, the hotel down the road still has a bed. It may still have a restaurant. It may still have a pool. So actually, what makes you stand out as being different should then be looking at how does that influence, and you should know what your segment is because you know what your business mix is. So you should know your segments. You should know where your business is coming in from. And then you're trying to align those differences about your hotel, your culture, your offering that may be different to the property that's half a kilometer down the road, because we're no longer competing with just a bed or a 3-star or a 4-star. We're competing with Airbnb that is all supposedly about the local experience. So we have got to connect with the guest in a way that we've never really connected with a guest before, and that's that person. That's the essence of that personalization piece, isn't it?
I'll go even further, and I'll say that we have to connect with the guest the way that we used to connect with the guest. I think that the goal is really to kind of put back the hotelier in the middle of the relationship to kind of have that trusted expert feeling. At the end of the day, there is one person that is the best at knowing what is there to do around your hotel and what are the best ways to get from the airport to your hotel. That's the person living and working there every single day. And that's the person hosting you. That is the hotelier.
So in a way, because there's always this debate, and it's certainly not for this podcast, about the human versus the machine. But actually, in a way, it's funny, I was having a separate conversation about this the other day for another podcast we've got coming up in another week or so. But it's almost getting back that word hospitality and re-owning that word hospitality and thinking that why people used to come to a hotel and what are the reasons as to why people are coming to a hotel, and that we being in the hotel know more about that area and that region than the person visiting. So trying to make that experience and their stay as best as it can possibly be, that is the value add that hoteliers can bring to that experience, isn't it?
Totally, totally. I think I have one lovely example and anecdote to add to this. We have this one amazing hotel called the Pulitzer Hotel here in Amsterdam. It's a beautiful 5-star hotel, very, very luxurious on the canals. And they're extremely concierge oriented. So that's part of the concept. And as their way of using Oki, what they do is that they actually offer for the guest to run with one of the concierge every Thursday morning at 7:30 in the morning. And the goal there is amazing. I mean, they charge, I think, 5 or 10 euros for it. So they don't make any profit on it. But what they want to do is actually create exactly what just happened, create a smile on the face of their guests, create that kind of surprise element, which especially when you stay at luxurious hotels, you need expectations is not enough. You need to get surprised. You need to go above that. And it's amazing because the concierge, which is running, is also training for the marathon. So that's also
good,
helping.
Good for him. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Caroline is extremely fit. But this is what we mean about kind of having that relationship again. In probably no other hotel would you expect a guest to be able to go and have a morning run with the concierge. And that's possible over there.
And I guess quite hard to work out if they're a runner or not, but it's an option that you can provide, isn't it? It's probably even a booking engine as good as Star is going to maybe struggle to let you know that they're a runner. But
then you know it, and then you can start playing on it.
And that comes back to what we were saying, that you may not necessarily get that first booking, but that engagement with them and being able to make these offers and see what connects enables you to then build that profile. And hopefully develop that relationship not only at the time when they're with you, but then post stay as well, which is often people don't forget about it. But apart from the, you know, the usual survey, did you have a nice stay? What did you think? There's very little communication after that point, really.
Yeah.
So we've kind of looked at segmentation, how that evolves down into personalization. And from an Oki's point of view, I mean, the examples you've had about the communication, you guys are handling that communication for your hotel clients in that personalization manner. So hyper-personalization, and you suddenly talking about AI, and all of a sudden we go off on a completely different stratosphere. So just bring us back and talk very specifically about that hyper-personalization and what that hyper element is.
Hyper-personalization is taking personalization on steroids. So it really is about adding maybe four or five, maybe an infinite amount of dimensions next to it, and really contextualizing that that behavior, that consumer behavior at the end. So let's make it very simple. In today's world, you get 8 seconds to capture the attention of whoever you're trying to speak to. So if you're not having an hyper-relevant, extremely concise message that actually matters for the person on the other side, you're lost. Knowing that, if I take it in a very concrete manner, it is about sending the right offer to the right guest at the right time for the right price and through the right channel. I know we've heard that before. This sounds like this is revenue management
on its own,
right?
Yep.
So this is, for example, with Oki, that would be knowing that this specific guest that has booked in this specific language via that specific channel is coming only alone, checking in on Monday through Thursday, book this specific room category without a breakfast, and belongs to this segment that has been recognized by the hotels,
yep.
Meaning that they actually need to receive a pre-stay email to have the highest conversion on room upgrades exactly 22 days before arrival, and they need to actually receive it at 1 p.m. instead of 3 p.m.
Okay, right.
This is going to hyper-personalization.
So we're looking at the message and its timing, and how far away it is from them actually checking into the hotel, and specific times at where you send it, I guess, because then you're seeing there are good times when someone who's coming for business as compared to someone coming for leisure might be accessing emails and maybe more open to receiving that message and doing something about it. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's so fascinating to actually see that we've done a study, we've analyzed about 500,000 of emails that were sent. And what we've seen is that the absolute best time to send an email for a leisure guest is the absolute worst time to send an email for leisure.
Really? Right, okay.
So the very interesting thing is that, so I can name that. That's probably interesting for some of the listeners. So 1 p.m. is the absolute best time to send an email in terms of conversion for leisure guests.
1 p.m. for leisure guests?
Yes, and okay. 10 a.m. for business guests. So
okay.
Coffee break, clearly.
Yeah, between first and next meeting, yeah.
Absolutely. And obviously, there is also a huge relationship between the time that you're sending that email and conversion and the amount of days that are between that email being sent and the arrival.
And so you said, just picking up, and we'll get too bogged down because, I mean, we could probably do a completely different podcast specifically around Oki and how those metrics work. But if you're saying then that time, I'm just thinking for our listeners that maybe you have just always approached, you know, we have our CRM systems, we set up our email, we have our upsell, our room upsell message, and we send it on the same time, on the same number of days, to the same guests, whatever, whether they're business or leisure, no difference whatsoever. It will go out on a Thursday, 4 days before they're due to arrive. That may be how we've set it up. What you're saying is that there's different times that leisure and business would access it. Are there different times in terms of days pre-arrival that would be different between business and leisure for sending that room upgrade message?
So business and leisure would definitely have a difference. Also in the fact, and that's again a data that we receive from the connector, mm-hmm. but also because typically business guests book way more last minute than leisure guests.
Okay.
So you also want to tailor your pricing probably differently. And we talked about non-refundable. These are amazing examples of a very easy way to segment, once again, your guests. What's also super interesting is to see that the amount of days will make a huge difference in what you actually sell. Mm-hmm. So 4 days, I would say to a hotelier that is sending emails 4 days before arrival, first of all, great that you're doing something at least. That's really
that's
good.
That's a good start. Yeah.
But I would say if you really try to reach the highest conversion possible, especially on room upgrades, what our data shows is that 21 days before the arrival is actually the highest converting amount of days for room upgrades specifically. If we look at other items like services, it could be breakfast, it could be transfers, it could be extra activities or a run with the concierge, then we're a lot closer to the arrival. So 2 to 3 days is usually the optimal time.
Okay, that makes sense. You guys have some examples of some quite interesting things that hotels hotels do for guests and requests and things. Can you tell us a little bit about some of those experiences that you guys have seen?
So one great example, and actually we have another example of that right behind me in the office, is a business hotel on Brussels airports that is selling a goldfish. So what they did
say that again. A goldfish.
The goldfish. Fonts the goldfish. So what they do is that they specifically personalize and target corporate guests that are traveling alone. And the message is as follows. Well, if you're feeling a bit lonely, then why don't you rent out Fonts, our goldfish? All profit goes to a charity that protects animals. And that's amazing. The Fonts is one of the most popular items in that hotel. It puts a smile on the guests before they arrive. It kind of really creates that informal, again, relationship conversation that you want to have with your guests. And that's just one example. Another lovely one, and that's my favorite, is one hotel that is offering a free pizza to save the planet.
Okay, so with the whole sustainability piece.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Okay.
The good thing is that the guest is also a winner. So in that case, we only show this item to guests that are staying more than two nights. So length of stay is then very, very important. And a guest can basically exchange the fact that they don't get their room cleaned every night for either a free pizza or a free beer at the bar for every night that a room is not cleaned.
Okay.
That's amazing. I myself, when I travel, I sometimes go to the front office and say, hey, what do I get if I don't get my room cleaned?
That's pretty neat. Yeah, that's a different take, isn't it? It's a different offering.
Well, and that's something that you can only do if you really start personalizing.
Yeah.
This is really when we become so passionate about what we do, when we see that our hoteliers finally become creative. And again, this is what technology can enable, finally. Innovation means creativity and really enabling these hoteliers to kind of speak what they always had in their mind, but were prevented from sharing that with their guests.
That's really interesting. It comes back to what we were talking about 5 minutes ago around that hospitality piece, isn't it? It's allowing the creativity and culture of the staff, the hoteliers in that property, to come up and express themselves, come up with ideas that reflect who they are. What I'm hearing here is with the core data that the likes of Star are able to push through, dovetailing that with an Oki platform that can be much more intuitive and anticipative about what those person, what that person is likely to do based on data that you're seeing. I guess you also would know that there is a difference between maybe guests coming in from Scandinavia than they may be coming in from Southern Europe, that may be coming in from the UK. So you've got regional differences, cultural differences, business, leisure, couple, single, family. You know, there's a magnitude of different pieces of a puzzle that can come together to make that message far more unique and genuinely personal to that individual circumstance.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And what's also amazing is to really kind of go even further than that. And what we're doing now is actually bring that personalization not only to the guest, but also to the hotel. And this is where a connectivity partner like Star really helps us, not just with the data that they have of the guest, but actually that can tell us what kind of hotel are we actually talking about. So in that case, that means that we can now predict and really help hoteliers to very easily, just in a few clicks, add offers that were successful in similar properties. And this data, we need to know that that hotel has a pool. We need to know that that hotel is offering these sort of packages, these rate plans. And that's something that we can receive from Star that helps us to be ready and set up in only a few clicks, because we know ahead of the hotelier what they have to offer. We can suggest them, inspire them, and make it easy for them to finally promote their hotel.
So you can do that data from a modeling point of view. So you're able to look at what has historically happened, and then through that, okay, we can anticipate this is a likely reaction and response to this particular offer of this particular individual booking this type of hotel.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Very funky. So I can see why the connectivity with someone like Star and the way that can pull through is absolutely, you know, that is the lifeblood, because without that data, without that information, it's hard for you to draw any conclusions or model anything to be able to then make recommendations going forward.
It's impossible. We absolutely need that data. We need that flow. And we also need that live data. That is so important.
Yeah.
The smallest personalization is also not receiving an email if you have canceled.
Yeah,
that's extremely important. And that's something that you can only have if you have two great pieces of technology that are speaking to each other on a very regular basis. Another piece which is quite interesting is to see the type of hotels that are actually using Star that are then interested in using Oki. So what we're seeing is that hoteliers are also defined by the pieces of technology that they use and the technology stack that they use. So it's great to see the creativity which is generated by hoteliers using an innovative technology.
And Russell, Katie, do you find that in the reverse way, that when clients are looking at you guys, they're looking at who you're connecting with and what other platforms them joining with you enable them to connect to? Because I guess that's where you're looking at the value to your guests above and beyond your product, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's very interesting. It's really good to hear from Oki about personalization. It's all new to us, as we mentioned earlier. But we are trying to be a bit like an app store so that they can log into our extranet and they can actually, once they log in, they can actually see Oki's button as well. So they can request a free demo account, have a look at there. And then it's just literally two or three clicks to be signed up and then gone live with them. So it's really, really quick. I think Star and Oki, we both share the same mission, and that is to use our technology to help hoteliers kind of maximize revenues and create the best possible guest experience. That's really what it kind of boils down to. And we're doing this by enabling the hotels to kind of take ownership of their online distribution drive the direct reservations, while Oki then lets you increase every guest's average spend, which is fantastic for the hotel, with targeted personalized offers. And you kind of bring these two together, Star and Oki, and you've got yourself quite a powerful ally for hotels, because they all want to make the guests have a best experience possible. It's all about intimacy, really making them feel special, and I think this is where the kind of partnership will really gel together.
Super. Well, thanks, guys. Really appreciate your time. Russell, Katie, Clement, it's been great to have you on here, and look forward to getting you on another podcast in the future. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Trevor, for having us.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
So that's the end of today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you had any questions or future topic suggestions, please feel free to reach out via content@revenue-hub.com. Thank you all for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, like, and tell your colleagues and friends. Catch you next time.